Father God, I just thank you for your goodness today. I thank you for your presence here, Lord. God, I ask you to give us ears to hear what you are saying, what the Spirit of God is saying right now in this moment, in this place, Lord. Open our understanding, anoint our ears to hear, to receive. On the good soil, Lord, of our hearts, we just pray that you would bring change, bring transformation, bring renewal, bring awakening, God, to the body of Christ here and abroad. We pray for our nation today, O God, that you, sovereign Lord, would move on this nation. Lord, you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin and heal their land. Father, we submit ourselves to you today and say, God, make us a vessel that will make a difference in this world. Help us to be the salt and the light, to be the examples we should be, and to stand up for what is right, for what is just, what is true. We ask it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask today that you would speak to us clearly today through your Spirit. Sow into our hearts with understanding the truth. Liberate every captive in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just thankful for what God does, and we should never underestimate what God does. Even in a moment of time, I think when we look at ourselves as well as others, we sometimes say, you know, God, I just want to be perfected. I just want to be finished. You know, I want to be all you want me to be, and I want it now. You know, and the same thing is true. We see others and we say, God, just save them, radically save them, transform them and turn them around. And, you know, just like you did to me. But we're all somewhere along the journey here. None of us have arrived yet. Amen. So we have to remember that God is still working on all of us. And we need to be part of that process. We need to help one another through. We need to encourage. We need to build up the body. And we don't kick people when they're down. Amen. You reach out a hand and you help them up. That's what Jesus does. Amen. That's the love of God for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. It wasn't that we were righteous and good and holy. It's because we're not. But he makes us righteous and good and holy. But we've got to respond to his voice. We've got to listen. So I look around. We look around at our nation. And I hope your only source of news is not CNN or Fox. You got to go online. You got to look at other places, folks. There's a whole lot that's being presented with an agenda that is not accurate. And if all you do is watch CNN and Fox and even the local news, you're going to get a lie. You're not going to get a true representation of what is actually really going on. But your best source of information, your best source of news is the Holy Spirit. We need to hear from God. What does God have to say about it? Amen. Not what I feel like or how well they spoke and how they moved my emotions, but what is God saying? How do I vote? I think every one of us needs to be involved in voting. Amen. Every one of us. We need every vote. Amen. And if you don't vote, you're actually voting by not voting. We need to come together. We need to pray. Folks, I don't like what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing. But God does have a person that he's chosen. And we need to get in agreement with God and say, Lord, who? Who's right for us? And I know that God will tell you, vote morality. Vote morality. Amen. Because God is holy. I'm not going to get off on this. I can see myself going here right now, but we're not going to go there today. Amen. But folks, no matter what you see happening around you today, no matter how bleak it looks, and how many know that the news is good at just getting you into fear? Man, we got to lift up our eyes and look to Him. Amen. Look to the God of gods, our God, and know that it's okay. It is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul today? That's what you really need to know. Is it well with my soul? Because there is protection for God's people. If we will stay close to Him, there is protection. There's divine protection. You know, I'm like the three in the furnace. If he delivers us, great. If he doesn't, we're still not bound down to the spirit of Antichrist. Amen? We're going to obey the Lord. We're going to follow Jesus. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen. You know, I want to talk about, we've been talking about the church of Ephesus, the church that was alive, vibrantly alive, full of the Holy Spirit, in love with Jesus, just couldn't get enough with Jesus, wanted to serve the Lord, was constantly, you know, every time the doors were open, they were there. They were known in the community. They were little lights, you know, in their community for Jesus. And they were just totally in love with Jesus. And somehow along the road, they began to drift away from that. And they left their first love. They were still doing all the church stuff, all the Christian stuff. They still had the language down, you know. They could say, amen, brother, you know, and all that good stuff that we use, right? But their hearts were far from God. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, howbeit in vain you worship God, you know. And he says, you draw near to me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And it is possible, folks, for us to give God lip service. In other words, our hearts are not really in it. But we all have to look in the mirror, don't we? If we're in love with God, worship, singing, blessing him, serving him is a joy. It's a delight. You want to. When you're in love with somebody, you want to honor that person. You want to bless that person. You want to please that person. You don't want to do anything to grieve that person. When you're in love with somebody, amen, it is evident. And so God was calling the church of Ephesus back to him. And today I want to talk about another situation. This is the church of Laodicea. And this is the lukewarm church. Most of us are very familiar with this passage. We can probably quote it. You know, because you're neither hot nor cold, I will what, spit you out or spew you out of my mouth. Well, I want us to kind of look at this today and really examine it, because I believe there are some thoughts today that I can share with you that maybe you haven't considered before about this. That we know that the church of Ephesus was a church that had that first love. They were alive in Christ. They were on fire for God. And they had left that place. But the church of Ephesus seemed to be one of those where they all kind of entered into the whole thing in the place of mediocrity. You know, just kind of somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the neutral zone. And they had a form of godliness. They had a form of worship. But their hearts were not really on fire for God. They were just kind of going through the motions. And by all appearances, they were doing all the right things. You see, there are many that have the name that they are alive and yet they are dead. You know, there are churches that have Living Waters and Living Way and you know, all these names that they're alive. And yet if you go inside, you say, oh, my word, there's nothing living in here. Amen. Get out the Holy Ghost for liberators or whatever, and boom, you know, you need a resurrection, brother. And God is wanting his church to understand how good he is and what he is inviting us to. He is inviting us to dine at his table if we would but open the door and allow him to come in. He would dine with us. Amen. We would enter into fellowship. And you cannot be with Jesus and not love Jesus. You cannot know God and not love God, because God is love. The more that we come to know God, the more that we will love God. And in sincerity and in authenticity, we will worship, we will praise, we will bless the God of heaven. When we experience the goodness of God, you can't help but love him and appreciate his goodness. When you receive the forgiveness of God, you can't help but give God glory and praise for that indescribable gift. Amen. To have your sins blotted out, to have a brand new start, to have the slate washed clean and a brand new beginning, a new heart in God. But this church of Laodicea, they were the kind of somewhere in the middle. And I want to say this because sometimes, folks, we need to be careful that we are not judging each other by outward appearance. We need to be careful not to judge someone based just upon personality traits. You know, we all have preferences of personalities. Some people we click with better than others. Amen. Some people are a little quieter by nature. It's just who they are. They're just quieter people. And some people, like probably the majority of us here, are more demonstrative, a little louder kind of people. You know, those Pentecostals especially, you know. And we, there's a personality to our church, but we don't have to expect everybody to be like us because God made us all differently. And we have to be careful that we're not judging somebody's spirituality or their Christian walk based upon how loud they are or whether they dance or shout or wave flags. And that's all good. If that's you and you express your love and to God that way, that's wonderful. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're spiritual because you do those things or that you have right Christian character. Neither does it mean you're spiritual if you don't do those things. God knows the heart, doesn't he? He looks upon the heart. And so my outward man, I want my outward man to be a reflection of my inward man. And if I am in right standing with God, then that outward man is going to reflect something good. Amen. I'm going to be expressing Jesus to the world. So we do need to make sure that our hearts are in right standing with God. Because I pray for spiritual zeal, folks. I ask God, Lord, inspire my zeal. And I think it's a good idea to do so. Amen. But remember, Saul of Tarsus was also a zealous man persecuting the church for God. He was very zealous. Amen. But it didn't mean that his heart was right because he was zealous. But I do pray for the right kind of zeal, that the Lord would inspire my zeal. Amen. And he would use that zeal for his glory. So I'm not opposed to spiritual zeal. I think it's important, but we have to be careful not just to judge someone because of the way they may respond in worship. Everybody worships a little differently, and that's okay. When I was a younger Christian starting out and in leading worship, I expected everybody to be on their feet with their hands raised and shouting and jumping, and you know, and if not, I would try to work it up and get it going. So come on, move, you know. And instead of leading people, I was like being a herder. And sometimes people would respond, sometimes they wouldn't, even when I did that. But the ones who responded often were doing it just so I would leave them alone. But it wasn't authentic. It wasn't from the heart. Get it? So it has to be for real. And it has to be God drawing us. And so the Lord started to speak to me and teach me to start just connect with me. You know, just connect with me when you're worshiping. And don't get so caught up in what others are doing. If you connect with me, my presence will begin to flow out of you as living waters, and it'll begin to touch others. And even as we know, even as you're worshiping here, it's not all from me or through me, but sometimes it'll be through you where you're at right now, giving God glory and giving praise. And there's like an overflow in here. And then some people that may be just going through a rough time or they're a dry spot in their life, you know, they're going to be refreshed just by being here in the atmosphere. Amen. And God will begin to stir up their hearts too, to worship. Amen. But we can't force people to love God. You can't force people to give God genuine praise. It has to be authentic, real, and it's from the heart. It has to be the desire of your heart. So this lukewarm church were kind of the people that were hanging out somewhere in the middle. You know, some people have never actually had a first love. They've never had a first love. You know, and so they didn't have anything to leave. But they've always kind of been in neutral zone. Some people, and I thank God that when I came to the Lord, and well, he came to me. And I said, yes. But, you know, when we talk about coming to the Lord, I was in my bedroom, and from there, God put me in a church that was right red hot on fire for God. They were in revival. So right away, I was placed in a good environment where I had tasted of the goodness of God in incredible ways. And after that, it's like, I couldn't say, I'd go into some other church. I'm like, man, I don't want to be here. I want to be where the Lord is. Amen. Where there's life. We hunger and we thirst for righteousness. He is our life. So we got to be careful not to judge people by personality traits, but by the fruit of the Spirit, because a tree is known by its fruit. So let's look at this. Revelation 3 and verse 14. The Church of Laodicea. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, this city was located in a valley, and they had two sources of water. And one was from the mountain, ice-capped mountains, and the water would flow through an aqueduct all the way down into the city. And then there was also a hot springs about 5 miles away from the city, and that water would also come into the city. So you can imagine hot water is good at the source, amen? But after traveling so many miles, it became lukewarm, or tepid is what that word means. It means tepid or indifferent. And so also the icy cold water that came down from the mountain, by the time it reached the city, guess what? All the water was lukewarm. And the Lord often uses natural illustrations to teach us spiritual principles. And so he was speaking in the language of the people in a way that they could understand. Yeah, we don't like the water here in Laodicea. It's kind of disgusting. We've got to boil it, or we've got to put some ice on it, you know. But the way it is, it's just kind of like, ugh. Who wants it, you know? So the Lord uses this illustration to tell the church that, hey, that's what it's like when you're neither cold or hot. It's not a matter of, well, I'm hot for God or I'm cold for God. It's a matter of losing your edge. Amen? Somewhere in the middle. He's not saying be hot or be cold. He's saying that it's the problem is that you're somewhere in the middle of that. And you've become distasteful. You've lost your effect. You've lost your influence. You're no longer a good flavor, if you will. And so this church, having kind of been in this place, and that's all they had known, had nothing to compare it to. A person who has had a first love knows what that's like. And they can go back and remember from where they have fallen and say, I need to get back to that place. When my whole life revolved around the Lord and I was so in love with Him, I need to remember from where I've fallen. And I got to get back and get right with God. But a person who's been lukewarm is a person that's just kind of been there in this place of neutrality. And there's a lot of people who want to get right with God, but they come into what's called a lukewarm church, and there's no presence, there's no fire there. Amen? There's no life in that. And so their view or their experience of God has always been somewhere in neutral zone. Does that make sense? And so I've had the privilege of going into and taking one earlier on a youth group that had never really tasted of God's goodness. They had never really had a first love. These kids were all kind of tepid and just kind of somewhere in the middle. They really didn't know what we were talking about because they hadn't experienced it themselves. And so their experience in God was always kind of like, ho-hum, when is the service over? And sometimes the hardest people to reach are the lukewarm, because that is their view of reality. Hear me, somebody. And they don't have anything to compare it to, because that's all they've ever known. And so this church was given the greatest blessing. God, He said, I'll give you a place to sit with me in my kingdom, if you can overcome this lukewarmness. And the greatest blessing was promised to this church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church, if they would overcome. And so we got to deal with sometimes this kind of situation, even when people come through the doors, you know. Or maybe you're here today and you can say, you know what, I've never really had a first love. I've never known what that was to really be on fire for Jesus, to be really in love with Jesus. Or maybe you were once really on fire and in love with Jesus, but somewhere along the way you kind of drifted away from that place and you've kind of got it into this same thing, this lukewarm kind of place where you just kind of like indifferent, take it or leave it, go to church, maybe, maybe not, whatever. Maybe the ball game's on today, I'll watch that instead. Are you hearing me, somebody? There's no heart, there's no passion, there's no desire. Because your heart is actually growing cold, or it's cooling off. And so I don't want to see that happen to me. I don't want to see that happen to you. And we all need to be responsible before God and examine ourselves in light of what the Scripture teaches to say, Lord, does this apply to me today? Am I on fire for you? Am I in love with you like I was at the beginning? And again, I remember this youth group that we, for about a year, and Chuck kind of knows what I'm talking about because he had it before I did. Yeah, they were a rough group, all right. They had to come in there like a drill sergeant or something, but these kids had never known. And so it took about a year of just the word and prayer. And then one day we had a breakthrough. God broke through. And sometimes, folks, we want to give up on people because we don't see anything right away. And we want so badly for them to love God and to know God and to experience God. And it doesn't seem like sometimes it's getting through. Do you know what I'm talking about? But God just said, be faithful. Just keep praying, keep sowing, keep sowing. And God broke through one day. It was really happened in one meeting, in particular meeting, when it all began to turn around. And the next week, they're all on the edge of their seat. They wanted to get a hold of God. They wanted to pray. They wanted to learn more. They wanted to be a part of what God was doing. It was a shift. And that's what needs to happen with some of you. You need to have a shift from where you've been. You need to shift out of that place of apathy or complacency or just kind of the lukewarmness. You got into a comfortable place in neutral zone where it's neither hot or cold. It's just kind of like I'm on cruise control. I've been living in this place for so long. And God is saying, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I'm giving you an opportunity to get on fire for me. Amen. To get red hot for God. And if you will listen, if you will come to me and you will allow me to change your heart and fill you with my Holy Spirit and my fire, amen, then great. But if not, I'm going to spit you out. That's what Jesus said. How many have ever looked at that and trembled and say, oh God, let it not be me? See, I didn't say that, folks. Jesus said that. He says, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. And they understood perfectly well, based upon the illustration he gave them, what it was to have that lukewarm taste. You know, God designed us to need him. How many have discovered that? Sometimes when everything's going well, we don't need God now. Right? Not right now. And how many know that's just not right? That's kind of like being married to somebody. And the only time you want to be with that person is if they're going to give you something. I don't know why you're laughing, but yeah. But you don't want to be with that person any other time. You just, when you have a need, it's like, hey, over here, right? That's sometimes what we do with God. It's like the only time we want to acknowledge God or be with God or is when we just have a need from God. And how many know that is not love? That is simply a need that you have. And you're going to your heavenly or divine sugar daddy and saying, God, I need this. God, I need that. And that's not what the Lord purchased us with His blood for. Amen. He purchased us with His blood so we could enter into covenant and fellowship with Him and enjoy a walk, a journey together with the Lord Jesus, and enjoy the goodness and the grace and the mercies of God every day, and experience that joy unspeakable and full of glory, and know the love of God that passes knowledge, and oh, the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Somebody say amen. Amen. And He says, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. See, the lukewarm person is perishing and doesn't know it. The lukewarm person is in a dangerous place and doesn't realize it. This church was perishing. They are in danger of being spit out, and they didn't know it. This is the deceptiveness of the enemy. He will lull you asleep. He will get you, he will entice you, he will seduce you into a place where you love the world and you're pursuing the things of the world and you ignore God in your life. And you make this world more important than Him. And people are perishing and not even realizing it. This is probably the most difficult spirit to deal with, is the lukewarm spirit. Because people in this place are self-satisfied. They didn't realize their true condition. They had money. They had wealth. They had a beautiful place to live. What do we need God for, they thought. They didn't realize that they were dying, see. A lukewarm person may be a churchgoer, regular. A lukewarm person can even be busy serving the Lord, but not actually partaking of the Lord. A lukewarm person is self-satisfied. Again, they are filling up on the things of this world. So they don't sense any need for God. What do I need God for? That was the condition of this church. Jesus said in John 15:4, "What, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." Now, I remember Judy telling me this story fairly recently about rabbits. How many have ever eaten rabbit? For Easter? Yeah. Did you know that if you continually tried to live on rabbits, you may feel full, but you'd actually starve to death? They do not have enough nutrition to keep you alive. Eating rabbit once in a while, okay. But if you're on a continual diet of eating rabbits, you can actually die from it, from malnutrition. I remember reading about Lewis and Clark and their expeditions and how they had a hunt for food. And a lot of their food was the game that they hunted. And they ate a lot of elk meat. Now, elk meat has protein, but elk meat has very little fat. So even though they were eating and they were filling themselves up on the elk meat, they were constantly hungry. See, that's what the world is like. You're constantly feeding yourself, filling yourself, but you're actually starving little by little. You're actually starving to death and don't know it. They don't realize it. And again, folks, a lukewarm person doesn't have a hunger for God because they're filling up on other things. This is our biggest problem in America today, as we have so many other things to fill up on, to entertain us, to occupy us, that we don't sense a need for God. In other words, we're eating filler food. We're eating the junk food of this world. And we're starving to death spiritually and are not aware of that. So God sends His Spirit. He speaks. Amen. The Lord speaks to the angel of the church of Laodicea, and He tells them, guys, listen. You think that you have everything you have need of, but you don't realize that you're actually dying. You're dying spiritually. And you're in a place where no longer are you representing me accurately or the way that you should. You're losing your edge. You're not hot or cold. You're lukewarm. You've lost your influence. You've lost your edge, and you're no longer representing my honor before the world. They are looking at lukewarmness. They're not seeing the life of Jesus that would draw men and women to repentance. They're not seeing the goodness of God displayed in us because we have disconnected from Him and we're filling up on other things. And we're starving. And many Christians are emaciated spiritually and don't even realize it. Complacency is the result. I want to talk about two kind of believers. One is a traditional believer. You know, the one who has always been used to the pomp and the ceremony and the lighting of the candles and the, you know, just going through the motions, the religious stuff, you know. And thinking that somehow that is all that they need to do. They just need to do this thing on Sunday or, you know, appease the man upstairs, you know. And so they don't know that there's no life in that, and yet that's all that they've ever known. See, the traditionalist is actually a lukewarm Christian. They have always been somewhere in lukewarmville or neutral zone, and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. There's no power. There's no substance. There's no reality. But they appease their conscience by the works that they do, thinking that somehow God's going to approve of them because they say things a certain way. They do responsive reading. They light candles a certain way, or they, whatever they're doing, they say their Hail Marys. But none of that saves. There's no life in that, in tradition. As a matter of fact, Jesus says, you nullify the word. He spoke to the disciples. You nullify the word. You make it of no effect because of your traditions. You're so stuck in doing these things that have no life in them. They're just empty practices. And then the other kind of person is the one, the feel-good Christian. They're the ones who love to hear good preaching. They love the best in Christian entertainment. Christian music. I ain't got nothing better to do but go to church on the weekend and enjoy the festivities of just the feel-good message, the feel-good music, and the socializing that we get to do. And I get to meet my best friend there, and we talk and we chat and we have a great time. And they don't realize either that they're also lukewarm. Why? Because they're not connected to Christ, but they're connected to these external things. They're trying to find fulfillment in the things that can only appease their flesh. I'm all for good music, folks. I think we should do our best to have good music. But the bottom line is have we had an encounter with God? Have we connected with Jesus? Because if we do all this stuff and we don't have an encounter with God, what good is it? The same thing is true about hearing preaching, listening to the Word of God. I love good preaching, folks, but I'm not listening to preaching so that I can be entertained by the preacher. That's what was going on in Ezekiel's day. They were being entertained by the man of God. Come and listen to what the Lord is saying. And the Lord says, you know, you're like this guy that plays an instrument really well. And they sit and they listen to your words, but they don't do them. They're just being entertained by you. They watch you burn. You understand? You have people who are traditionalists, and then you have people who are like the shallow ones who just, they're into all that stuff in the feel good and the buzz and the emotion, but there's no substance. They're not connecting with Christ in their heart, and therefore they have no life. Sometimes they're like, we call them bottle rocket Christians. You know, they go up and they make a big boom, and then what happens? They fizzle out and they're gone. There's no substance. there's no root. And like I said earlier, I'm all for zeal. I'm an emotional guy, and when the Holy Ghost comes on me, I get emotional, and that's okay. God gave us emotions. Emotions are not sinful, but our emotions are not the sum total. Amen. It's not that we're pursuing an emotional buzz. We want to encounter God. You know, too many today are avoiding or watering down the truth because they want people to be entertained. They want people to feel good. Why? Because that's what most people are looking for. They just want to feel good. And I've discovered something. That sometimes I have to feel bad first before I feel good spiritually. I have to be corrected sometimes. And when I'm corrected by the Lord, it doesn't feel good. Anybody beside myself know what I'm talking about? We all need to be corrected. If we're sons and daughters, we will be corrected by the Lord. And that doesn't feel good. However, when the Lord corrects us, it's Him loving on us and allowing us opportunity to repent and to come back into right order with Him. He's giving us an opportunity to be made right with Him. So I say, Lord, bring it on. Amen. I don't want somebody to give me a watered down message. I want it straight. I want to hear the truth because it's only the truth that's going to set you free. And we've got a lot of people today that they go to these, and I'm not picking on all large churches, but there's some mega churches out there that are preaching demonic heresy. There's no cross in their message. It's all feel good fluff. And that's what the people want to hear today. They don't want the truth anymore. But God has a people who do. He has a remnant. He has a people that are hungry and thirsty for authentic, for the real. Amen. For His righteousness. And their Lord, bring it on. I need to hear what is true so I can escape the snare of the enemy. I had this thought about, you know, you've heard the term dabbling with the occult. You know, dabbling with witchcraft. Well, I think the lukewarm church here could probably be likened to dabbling with Christianity. Dabbling with God, just kind of sampling a little bit here and there. And, you know, I show up once in a while, I get a little of this and a little of that. And I wander here and get a little of this and a little of that. I'm kind of dabbling. I'm just kind of playing, splashing in the water, in the kiddie pool a little bit. Dabbling with God, you know. So, but they never really taken the full plunge. God is calling you and I to take the full plunge. To the degree that we are willing to give ourselves back to God, to offer our bodies back to God, that is the measure that we will receive of Him. It's an exchange. I am giving you my life for your life. I am offering my body back to you as a living sacrifice, Romans 12. So that's what we're called to do. Because the Lord said to this church, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire. How can you buy anything from God? You ever thought about that? You can't. What can you? He owns it all. And what do I got? Am I going to bring my money? As some preachers will have you given your money so you can buy blessings from God? No. How do I buy this gold? How do I receive this ISAB? How do I receive these things that God is offering me to correct my problem with the lukewarmness? Well, guess what? God is saying it's going to cost you something, and it's going to be a great cost. And you know what the cost is? Your life. That's what you're purchasing. You're giving yourself to Him so you can receive His life in you. And the more that we are willing to yield and give our lives away to Him and trust Him with our whole life, the more of Him we will have, and our life will be filled with Jesus. We cannot be full of Christ and full of self simultaneously. Either you're going to be full of the Holy Spirit. If you're going to be full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be a selfless person, not a selfish person. A selfish person cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we have no passion, we have no zeal, we have no desire, we have no authentic love, we have nothing to give the world, because what the world needs is not us, but Christ. And are we willing to give our lives today and say, Lord, I mean business today. I want to give you all. All's a big word, but all is what is required. When you give Him all, guess what? You get all. When you get married to someone, you're saying, I'm giving my all to you, and you're giving your all to me. We give ourselves to each other. And that's what Christ has called us to do, is to give ourselves to Him as He's given Himself to us. We are entering into covenant. Everything that He has is mine. Everything I have is now His. Do you get it? Full covenantal blessings that come because we're one in Him. We're no longer trying to save ourselves. I've given my life away already. I've given myself to Jesus. My life is in His hands. My life is in Christ. The life that I now live, like Paul said, I live by faith in the Son of God. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Luke chapter 5, verse 37. Jesus said, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst, the wineskins will be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Now hear it, verse 39. No one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. See, if you and I have never really tasted the new, then we will be content to continue to drink what we've always drank. We'll continue to live and abide in what we've always been content with and always known in our lives. And that's called neutral zone. That's lukewarmness. I'm not growing. I'm not going forward. I'm not going back. I'm just somewhere in the middle. I'm used to drinking the old stuff. I'm used to the old songs and the old preaching and the old, well, that's my pew and I got my plaque on the side of the pew. That's where Aunt Bessie used to sit and we ain't changing because these are the old ways. And the Spirit has long been gone, and now we have as a form of what once was. Someone say amen. Amen. So God says, listen, you got to get rid of the old thing. If you want to receive what I have for you, the freshness, the newness, the renewing of your mind and your heart, you're going to have to break tradition. You're going to have to discard what you've been used to, what you've always been doing. And ask God, Lord, I want a new heart. I want a new beginning. I'm willing to discard all those things that I have trusted in, all the traditions that I've trusted in, so that I might have you. That I might gain Christ. You see, many people miss the Lord because of their tradition. I've been in churches where the only thing they got is the King James Version and the red back hymnal. And I'm not opposed to those things. I love hymns too. The problem is that God's doing a new thing. The message doesn't change, but the methods do. Jesus met the people where they were. He knew the culture. He mingled with the people. He walked among the people. He didn't separate himself from people. He was with the people. He understood the people he was addressing. He spoke to them in their language. He spoke to them in parables that they could understand. Jesus knew how to connect with people. And the problem is sometimes the things that once worked, the methods that we once used that were effective at that time are no longer effective. We're dealing with a different group today, a different people today. And we need to discover, Lord, what is it that I need to change? What is it going to take for us to reach the lost? What do I need to change in me? Because without realizing it, we very quickly become traditional, even in Pentecostal circles. And how many know that if you just keep doing the same thing over and over again, you start to get stale? It starts to get stagnant. There's no freshness anymore. When we stop listening to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to direct us in our meetings, amen, it will quickly become lukewarm and lifeless. Why? Because God is where He's going to be, and we need to be where He's at. We need to follow Him, amen? He's not impressed by our programs or even our styles. We need to discover what God is doing now and do that. That's what's going to be effective. So you have these churches, folks, and there's too many of them. Even in our denomination, the Church of God, you've got some there. They're 60, 70, 80 years old. There's no young people there. But they're sticking to their traditions. This is the way we always do it. And they're not reaching anybody. As a matter of fact, they're the We For No More group. They're saved. They're going to heaven. They're enjoying the Lord, I guess. But they don't seem to have any heart or any concern for those who are lost. And then all they do is they do this church thing until the last of them dies off. And guess what else dies? Well, that's the end of the church. And churches are dying all over America because someone is not moving with God. They're stuck in the rut, in the tradition, and they've lost life, and they've been dying without realizing it. What else do we need? We've got our comfortable pews. We've got our redback hymnals. We've got our King James. We've got this style of preaching that I like. Well, he's my favorite. Weren't you entertained today by that message? That was just wonderful. Amen, brother. Amen. The question is, are you doing anything about it? Are you actually obeying what you heard? Oh, we can hear it over and over again until we just become callous to it, indifferent to it. And no longer tremble at the word, because the word has an effect, you know. If you continue to listen and hear the word of God, but you don't do anything about it, you actually deceive yourself. You'll be self-deceived. I want the new wine. How about you? I want what God has now. And I'm willing to say, Lord, whatever we need to change or adjust. I think that, to my understanding, we are a church that is honoring the Lord, that is pleasing the Lord, that the Lord is pleased with us. But let me just say this. I do see some areas where we need to change. And I also want to say this, and I say this in love, but we've got to get back to the altar. We've got to get back to prayer. We need to understand something, that if we are not praying, and if we don't even have a desire to pray, it means that we are actually filled with something else. It means that there's no hunger. And when there's no hunger, it means that you're spiritually ill. Wow. If you're physically hungry, it's a good thing. And you're spiritually hungry, it's a good thing. But if there's no hunger, if you could take it or leave it, whatever, it means that you're spiritually ill. And we need to get back and allow Jesus to heal and restore and bring us back to the place where we once were. Amen? Back to our first love. Fall in love with Jesus again. Lord, I thank you today for the word. God, we don't want to be hearers only. We want to be doers. And we ask you for grace, for your grace, Lord, to continue in this journey. Lord, deliver us from lukewarmness. We want to be hot for God. We want to be on fire for God. And we pray, Lord, that you would just reach out and touch everyone in this room today, Lord, that you'll stir up every heart in this room. God, that the gift of God within each one of us will be stirred up. And Lord, we ask you to do a work in us and restore us, that we will have a desire and a passion for you, that we will actually have the desire to want to pray and to seek you and to spend time with you and to walk with you and to tell others about you and do all those things, Lord, that we know that you desire. And we know, Lord, that when we're in right standing with you, we will desire those things as well. So God, I ask you to bring us back, bring us all back to the place where we belong. to the place where we need to be. Restore us and forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for our sins. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. That I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want, one more time. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Light a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Woo! Wow. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock. Amen.